I do want to bring greetings to you from the University of Missouri School of Nursing and the University of Missouri MPH program, which is thriving. And also, I want to thank our funder, the Missouri Foundation for Health, who has been very, very generous in giving us money to carry out this, this project. Rural residents and health are inexorably intertwined. I grew up in a rural area until I was 18 years old, so I do remember at least a little bit the difficulties in getting health care. There is a disproportionate distribution of health care providers. There are the mediating factors of poverty and ethnicity, and there's also women's unequal social and economic status and the feeling of women that they must take care of the whole family before they themselves receive care. So in rural areas, we see that women do tend to live longer, because women tend to live longer pretty much everywhere, but they have significantly more morbidity. Just showing you a few Missouri houses. Okay. Women from ethnic minorities are particularly at risk. They have less access to service, especially if they are undocumented. Over one-third of them lack any kind of health insurance. And they do have problems even when they're employed. In one of the Hispanic group, I'm immediately getting off script here, sorry. One of the Hispanic groups that we did, the women said, we can't go to the nurse at the plant. They worked in some kind of a meat processing plant, because she'll send us home. And if we go home, we get a point. And if we get too many points, we get fired. So it's very much a catch-22 situation there. There are language barriers. There is lack of awareness of available services, and we all isolation, and also it has been well documented that the longer people stay in the United States, the worse their health gets, an unfortunate state of affairs. So the purpose of this study was to identify specific challenges and experiences by rural older women ages 50 to 64 in Missouri. We selected these ages because at 50, the maternity time is usually done, not always, and women are no longer eligible for those maternity services. But they're not ready for any other kinds of programs until they reach Medicare age, unless they are totally disabled. Many of the public health nurses we talked about said there's nothing for these women. You know, their family may get $12 in food stamps, even if they have no income. So we ended up going to 11 different counties in Missouri. We did an assessment and a fairly significant community assessment, looking at the counties with the worst indicators, the farthest from health care, and we put together a group of those and made our decisions about where we would go. We did 11 focus groups, two with Spanish-speaking Hispanic women, three with African-American women, And five additional, was it five or six additional ones with white women. We used a semi-structured interview guide. We did serve dinner, and we did give people gift cards for coming, for which they were very pleased. In one case, it was lunch. Let's see. Okay. The transcripts were recorded. I really think you should be in front of me and not in front of them, because if it's in front of me, I would know to change it. Anyway, that's just, think about that for the future, the slides. Oh, see, nobody told me this, okay. Why did I even leave home? Okay, the transcripts were recorded, transcribed for our Hispanic. We did have Spanish-speaking women who did the Hispanic groups. We had an African-American woman who did the African-American groups, and I did the groups of white women. We used basic content analysis, and we did receive IRB approval. Women talked about specific health issues. They were asked about health issues. We didn't say to them, what bothers you? What we said to them is, what is bad for the women in your community? And the usual: hypertension, cancer, diabetes, stress, lots of stress, anxiety, sleeplessness, chronic pain. Everybody mentioned issues related to menopause. Everybody. Women don't want to just have hormones thrown at them. They really want to know what they should expect and what they should do. And there was also mental health, specific mental health issues that came up. This said we had four major themes, but actually we had five. We came up with the interrelated challenges of minimal personal and infrastructure resources, denial. There's also quite a bit about rural secrets of Gesundheit, drug use, mental illness, and violence. Need for improved health literacy in a badly stretched primary care system. And as you can imagine, there was quite a bit of overlap between all of them. Health insurance is a huge issue. I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. It's a huge issue. Women do work, but they may be laid off. Many of them work in service-type jobs where they do not get any kind of health insurance. People don't have the money for their medication. Walmart has been helpful with some of the $4 medications. When you lose your job, you lose your health insurance. Some women said that they had their own business and they were unable to afford health insurance. And also minimal community resources. In these very rural counties, in the very poor counties, physicians, there's no continuity of care, which is a big concern for women. A physician will come and stay 1 to 2 years. They perhaps do their service to pay back their loans, and then they're gone. So women don't have the opportunity to develop a relationship with a physician. Sometimes nurse practitioners are there longer, and women are pleased with that. But in general, that's a problem. You have to pay for stuff up front, even if you have health insurance. One of the women told us that you have to $1,500 on the line if you want to have a hysterectomy. And even if there are free clinics, they're usually off hours, or you have to take time off to go, and it's first come, first serve. So even if you take time off work, you don't know if you're going to be seen. There's no place to exercise. No safe place to get exercise. One of the communities in southwest Missouri, they had a lovely system of parks and trails, but they had 3 murders in that area in the last year, so women were not real excited about going out there and getting their walks. There's no dental care. There's just no dental care. Dental care, unless you can pay cash on the barrelhead, there is no dental care. Transportation is always an issue. This was a quote from one of our Latin American women, basically that they neglect acute and chronic illnesses. They're afraid to go to the hospital. They die at home, so they go to the hospital, but they don't know how they're going to be treated at the hospital. So it's just very much of a catch-22 situation for them. Interesting is that many of our Hispanic women were getting medications from Mexico because they could get them for almost nothing. Somebody would just have to bring them up here, but they were over the counter. And as a result, one woman over-medicated herself on unopposed estrogen and ended up with endometrial cancer. And there was some other kinds of problems that came up. So that's something that we need to watch for when we work with women who have access to medications outside the normal route, because they may not be taking them properly. People don't want to think that they might be ill, so they just don't go. They don't want to have pap smears. They don't want to have checkups. They want to just stick their head in the sand. Many of our women thought if you even consider that you might be sick, then it will make you sick. It was kind of magical thinking. Out of the 11 counties that we in which we did focus groups, 8 of them claimed to be the meth capital of Missouri. That is a dubious honor at best, but you know, everybody thinks that, Missouri is a meth capital of the universe, which it may be, but we did see several cases in our focus groups of women who had, I don't know if any of you ever, have ever seen meth mouth, you know, where the teeth are. Yeah, I mean, it was very distinctly that's what it was, and the way they acted made you suspect that they were indeed chemically enhanced in some way. People don't want other people to know if they have mental health issues. So they don't want, in many cases, there isn't a mental health clinic anyway, but they don't want to go to the mental health clinic and sit by their neighbor. One of the women said, if you holler out the back door for your dog, everybody in town answers, and that's kind of the way they feel. People are secretive, and they just don't want to know. Another interesting, kind of an aside, but women don't want to sit next to their gynecologist in church either. And in some of the counties, the gynecologist definitely will not won't even see women in their county because they don't want to run into them in the grocery store. So it's an interesting kind of a dynamic there. There is a badly stretched primary health care system. As I said earlier, doctors don't want to stay. They schedule 50 patients a day. You've got a 9 o'clock appointment and you have to get home, and all you did was get your finger stuck. One of my favorite stories was a woman who said she was in the waiting room for an hour and a half, and then they put her in the exam room, and she was in her little paper outfit, you know, that covers so well, especially the mature adult figure. And in the next room, she could hear one of her neighbors had brought her mother in so that the physician could talk her mother into stopping driving, because the woman evidently was not a safe driver. And that went on for an hour and a half. And finally she said, I was just ready to go in there and talk to her, say, please don't drive anymore. But happily, evidently, they got it worked out in one way or another. There's a lack of trust in the system. We saw this especially in our ethnic minority women, African-American and Latino. You don't know if they're going to help you or not. Many of the Latino women felt like they were really frowned upon if speaking Spanish. There weren't sufficient interpretive services, even in areas in the state where we have huge, undocumented, many times, Latino populations. There was no interpretation available. So people just didn't go. There's a need for improved health literacy. Women want to know. This came up in several of the groups even. What if women got together and learned stuff? What if women got together and learned to take blood pressures or to teach each other? There was a lot of interest in that. Women, as I said again, want to know about how to manage stress. They want to know about menopause. They want to know a lot of things. While improved primary care resources could address some of these problems, others are going to need to be solved at a community level. We cannot, in Pineville, Missouri, where there are 800 people, and they have a huge Hispanic population, even the federally qualified health center is not able to deal with most of those folks. So, We talked about things like the health promoters, promotores, community health workers. There, we have reported back to several of the counties that had large minority populations, and they're asking for us to give them information, to give them ideas about some of these community worker programs. So, people are very interested in going ahead with this. Maybe training members of the target population to do case finding and developing social support networks for stress reduction and emotional support. A couple of additional observations. The groups were an opportunity for women to exchange information. We had between 10 and 12 women at each group, and myself or the facilitator and a note taker. And people just knew stuff that other people didn't know. Did you know X? No, I heard it on this station. I heard it on this radio station. I heard it here, I heard it there. So there was a lot of information exchange that took place. Many services are either unknown or requisites I can't even read that one. Okay, two of our groups were mainly retirees. They were on the Iowa border, and we had to depend on community women to organize these groups. And these women were people who were retired, they were well off, and they just came to live in the lake around the lakes of Missouri. And we did not get very much information from them, so we almost felt like two of our groups were almost kind of a waste. Health departments and other entities freely admit that there are no services for women between 50 and 65. The health departments tend to do MCH. They're very interested in knowing what to do, but they don't even know where to begin. What we're doing now is we're reporting back to all of our groups, except for those two that I talked about, to validate results, to get ideas, to brainstorm. We want to identify potential solutions, interventions, and how they can be implemented with the target populations. We're trying to get them or help them write small grants to get programs started. The Missouri Foundation for Health is one of those grantees or grantors that is very good about wanting to deal with rural Missourians. So we're hopeful that we have a couple of grants started there. And at this point, we've also sent out a quantitative survey based on the data from the qualitative interviews to healthcare providers to see if they agree with what our findings were. And that's all I have. Thank you.